Hello, this is John Ivey from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a visually impaired audience. For the next half hour, I shall be reading to you from November 2010 issue of Boys Life magazine. Our first article is entitled Scouts in Action, page 48. Ethan Morley, 9, and his sister Emily, 14, were babysitting their younger brother when a smoke alarm went off in their house. Emily ran upstairs and saw flames coming from one of the bedrooms. Everyone rushed out of the house immediately, but Emily soon realized that their younger brother, 4-year-old Nick, was still inside. Ethan thought he knew where Nick would be hiding and ran back into the burning house as Emily called 911 on her cell phone. Struggling against the heat and smoke, Ethan found Nick hiding in his sister's closet. Ethan and Nick left the house as the fire department arrived. No one suffered any injuries during the incident. Of course, it has pictures here of young Ethan and Emily. The house smoke coming out of the windows. And then Ethan running in, hollering for his brother, Nick, Nick. Then he pulled him out and helped him get outside. Bear Club Cub Scout Ethan Jed Morley, a member of PAC 1508, chartered to LDS Church, Aspen Meadows, 3rd Ward, Spanish Fork, Utah, received an honor medal for his actions. And now to the wacky adventures of Pedro, page 51. So now here we have Pedro and his buddy Zork. Brought back to planet Zork, our beamed-up burrow notices changes. And Pedro says to Zork, I see you're using much smaller spaceships now. Zork, it's much cheaper. Most of our freight and passengers move by teleport now. Teleport? That's instantaneous movement from point A to point B. It's the fastest way to go, eh? Oh, yes. It's very popular with people on and off this planet. There's only one problem. Oh, what's that? Rush hour. And it shows all of these aliens zooming around. Trump. Trump, get out of my way. Hey, ouch. Hey, move, move. Getting each other's way. Okay, Pedro. Well, now let's go to Boys Live Headliners, pages 14 and 15. Cody McCasland. He was born October 2nd, 2001. Hometown, Coleyville, Texas. Scout rank, Bear Cub Scout. PAC 260, Coleyville. Made headlines by winning the 2009 National Iron Kids Triathlon in the 7-year-old division and the 2009 Build a Bear Huggable Heroes Award for Community Service for Team Cody, a fundraising organization he formed with his mother's help. It sponsors races and has raised more than $125,000 for Texas Scottish Rite Hospital for Children. The Scoop. Because of a rare birth defect, Cody's legs were amputated when he was 15 months old, so he used his prosthetics. Cody also is a spokesperson for the Challenged Athletics Foundation. With his fundraising, Cody hopes to help other kids get prosthetics. There are a ton of people out there who do not have prosthetics and need them. I also wanted to give back to the hospital. His other interests, Cub Scouts, sled hockey. The future, Cody wants to compete in swimming in the Paralympics, do the Ironman Kona Triathlon, and be a pediatric anesthesiologist when he grows up. His advice, just keep working and you'll get to that goal or dream that you have. Now there's Kyle Dahl, born August 30th, 1993. His hometown is Delano, California. He made headlines by earning a gold medal at the 2010 Extreme Flight Championships, one of the world's most prestigious radio-controlled helicopter competitions. The scoop? Kyle got hooked on RC copters at 7. He practices up to 10 hours each week and logged 2,252 flights in 2009. He entered and won his first competition in 2008. He was among the youngest of 18 pilots invited to the XFSC, where he showed off his maneuvering and aerobatic artistry. Copter collection. Kyle owns 8 helicopters and competes with 3 Mikado Logo 600s, which weigh 8.5 pounds and have 5-foot diameter rotor blades. His advice? The first year I competed, I had a crash on one of my first flights. I still ended up getting first place. Competition teaches you that you've just got to keep going. The future? Kyle is considering engineering with an emphasis on helicopter design or a military career as an unmanned aerial vehicle pilot. Let's go back to more Scouts in Action. Page 50. He saved his friend from a falling tree limb. Adam Boatnight, 17, and a friend, also 17, were clearing dead branches from a tree in a neighbor's yard in Columbia, South Carolina, when one of the larger branches broke off and fell off from the tree. Adam ran and pushed his friend out of the way of the falling branch. His friend wasn't hurt, but the branch severely bruised Adam's knee. A doctor put a splint on Adam's knee, and he recovered over the next few weeks. Eagle Scout Adam Gregory Booknight, a member of Troop 815, chartered to Our Lady of the Catholic Church, Chapin, South Carolina, received a heroism award for his actions. So we see here a picture of the falling branch, and then Adam rushing, pushing his friend out of the way, and then Adam sitting there with his knee a bit bruised up. Good job, Adam. Next, he saved a fellow scout from drowning. Shelby Bowden, 14, and his buddy were intentionally swamping their boat as they practiced their rowing skills at Travelers Rest, South Carolina, when his friend's life vest became snagged on an oarlock, trapping him underwater. The friend didn't have time to take a breath as the boat capsized. Shelby brought him to the surface, lifted the rowboat, and hooked his friend's life vest from the oarlock. Neither Shelby nor his friend were hurt during the incident. Shelby's fast action saved his buddy's life and prevented a tragedy. Life Scout Shelby Bowden, a member of Troop 9, chartered to Buncombe Street United Methodist Church, Greenville, South Carolina, received a heroism award for his actions. And, of course, it shows the picture here of the boat turning over, and then the young man capsized with his life vest hooked onto the oar lock. And then, of course, Shelby pushing the boat and saving his friend's life. Good job. Next we have Biking for Food, pages 24 and 25. Texas Cub Scouts put a new twist on the old scouting for food tradition. The Cub Scouts of Pack 97 in Fort Worth, Texas, know how to collect food. They use their bikes. They collected nearly 3,000 items last December with their Scouting for Food Bike-a-thon, and they found that it's a lot more exciting than collecting plastic bags as they do during their regular Scouting for Food event. It starts with phone calls to friends and neighbors. I asked them if they could pledge a certain amount for every mile I would ride, says 10-year-old Weeblo Scout Andrew Lammis. Then comes the biking. The pack rode on the paved trails of a local park, complete with stations at each mile marker with water and snacks. We rode on a 6-mile course that was 3 miles one way and 3 miles back, Andrew says. I did it twice, so I rode 12 miles. Redeeming miles. Once the miles were added up, the Cub Scouts had raised $3,126. After asking the food bank what was needed, they used the money to buy 2,780 items of food and other household goods. The Scouts did the shopping themselves at local grocery stores. Andrew and his brother, 8-year-old Nicholas, also collected store coupons so they could buy even more food. We filled our cart with all kinds of cans of soup, vegetables, fruits, bags of pasta, and jars of peanut butter, Andrew says. We learned how to shop for the best prices and get the most for our money. Help from friends. Biking 12 miles isn't easy. Two police officers who regularly patrol their areas on bikes talked to the Cub Scouts about bike safety. They also rode along with the guys in their bike-a-thon. A couple of scouts from Troop 97 also rode along to make sure everything went smoothly. It was hard and tiring, but fun all the same time, says 10-year-old Weeblo Scout Alejandro Arujo. It was fun riding with my friends and knowing I'd be helping other people at the same time. PAC 97 collected 1,154 items during their regular Scouting for Food event in February, bringing their total donation to 5,894 items. That's a lot of help for people who need it. I really felt good when I delivered all this food to the food bank, says Andrew, because I was serving my community and helping others to have a better life. It has pictures here of the boys just getting prepared for their bike. It looks like they're getting some instruction from the police. Then they're off. Now at the top, the Cub Scouts get some biking safety tips from a local police officer. Then the middle picture, Alejandro Arujo rode 12 miles and collected more than $800. And then up just above, the Cub Scouts used the donations to buy goods for a nearby food bank. Biking for food, step by step. Find a local park or other area with plenty of paved trails that are safe for biking. Number 2, contact city officials for permission to hold your event at the park. 3, ask people to pledge money for every mile you ride. 4, ride your bike and keep track of how far you go. 5, collect the money that was pledged to you. 6, contact a local food bank and find out what items are needed most. 7, buy the items and deliver them to the food bank. And at the bottom of page 25, the Cub Scouts are all smiles as they complete the final portion of their bike-a-thon Scouting for Food drive, the delivery of the goods to the food bank. Good job, Scouts. Now page 32 and 34, dogs in action. Scooby saved his owner after a heart attack. One afternoon, pit bull Scooby's uncharacteristic yelps and whines drew Ellen Hone to her Auburn, California kitchen. There, Scooby bit her sleeve and pulled her to a partially open sliding door. Outside, Mrs. Hone saw her husband, Sandy, slumped against the house. While her daughter called for help, Mrs. Hone raced to her husband, who had suffered a massive heart attack. Mr. Hone underwent triple bypass surgery and many weeks of recovery. The Hones had saved Scooby from an animal shelter, and he returned the favor. Scooby now works as a search and rescue dog. And, of course, it has pictures of Mrs. Hone running into the house and noticing her husband grabbing his chest. And then, of course, the paramedics coming in and the daughter calling the paramedics. And a nice picture of Scooby. Next one. Shannon rushed to the rescue after the accident. As Ted Mandry worked on his Washington, Montana farm, the front loader on his tractor engaged his right leg. Mandry was seriously injured alone and helpless in a gully. Later at home, the Mandy's dog, Shannon, a border collie golden retriever mix, insistently pawed the floor in the door. When leashed and taken outside, Shannon tore through bushes and scrambled over felled trees, dragging Mrs. Mandry toward the hayfields one-third mile away. Shannon stopped at the gully where Mrs. Mandry found her husband. Mr. Mandry lost his leg above the knee. Without Shannon, he might have lost his life. Shannon received a Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals Los Angeles National Hero Dog Award. Of course, it has a picture of Mandry lying there with the, looks like the backhoe on his leg, and Shannon openly scratching at the door and then pulling his wife toward her husband, and then, of course, receiving his award. Eddie went above and beyond during her owner's diabetic coma. When Phil Normington of San Jose, California, went into a potentially fatal diabetic coma, his black Labrador reacted quickly. Eddie, trained by Dogs for Diabetics, smelled the low blood sugar scent that meant Normington needed a glucose shot. Since Normington was unconscious, Eddie could not alert him to the danger with her practiced stare. Although not trained to do so, the dog raced to the garden and stared intently at Normington's wife instead. Recognizing Eddie's signal, Mrs. Normington let Eddie lead her to where her husband lay comatose. After she gave her husband two glucose injections, he revived and suffered no further complications. Eddie saved her owner's life and was nominated for an American Kennel Club ACE award. And it has pictures here of the dog noticing Mr. Normington on the ground, then alerting his wife, and she, of course, coming to his rescue. Good job, Eddie. And finally, Tripp saved the family from a fire. While Ellen Franklin and her adult daughter, Sarah, slept, a fire smoldered in their Marietta, Georgia home. Tripp, Franklin's three-legged golden retriever, smelled smoke. The dog's incessant barks and his frantic pawing and scratching at Franklin did not rouse her. A chomp at his owner's hand finally did the trick. Franklin awoke slowly, nearly overcome by the smoke filling her bedroom. She yelled to her daughter, dialed 911, then the three fled the house. After battling the blaze, the fire lieutenant said that if not for Tripp, neither mother nor daughter would have made it out alive. The local fire department honored Tripp, who also earned the Golden Rescue and Community Excellence Foundation Hero Award. And it shows Tripp here smelling the smoke, biting the owner on the arm, on the wrist, and then once they got outside, the firemen are trying to do their job by putting out the fire. All right, next article, the Scout Program, Cooking Turkey Days, page 34 through 37. Turkey Days. Pennsylvania Scouts spend an entire weekend preparing Thanksgiving dinner for 100-plus hungry guests. What Scouts aren't thankful for a hot, delicious meal during a weekend campout? What about when the Scouts are responsible for creating an entire Thanksgiving feast, cooked pilgrim style, and serving it to more than 100 guests? One troop says it's possible, and fun, and a great annual event. For Troop 344 near Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, what began more than 20 years ago with a handful of boys, their leaders, and a campfire roasted turkey is now a weekend-long production. That everyone looks forward to. The November weekend begins on a Friday morning when an army of adult volunteers hoist giant tents to create the dining hall. Around nightfall, the Scouts arrive, pitch their tents, and then chop, slice, and dice the mountains of potatoes, carrots, onions, and celery. First-year Scouts have the chore, make that the honor of cleaning out the ice-cold birds, stuffing them, and wiring their legs closed before balancing the birds over the fire. By Saturday evening, when the guests arrive, carrying pies and a few dollars to help cover the costs, the air is thick with delicious smells. Aged-out Scouts, former leaders, and the families of current and future Scouts all come together. Sometimes 100 or so arrive. Once the guest list top 140. This is the biggest event we have each year, said Luke Gittner, a Life Scout with Troop 344. I love the atmosphere of everyone cooking and working and playing together. Then when you're eating, you look down the table and see everyone so happy because they're eating good food that you helped make, and they're glad to be together. It's great. Scouts whose troop chose next month's suggested program theme, cooking, will learn how to prepare great meals even for a large number of people. And it shows young man looking at the wantingly at the turkey as it's cooking. And then a few more boys again putting in their checking the temperature. And here's some tips on cooking the turkey. 170 pounds of turkey, 9 birds were cooked. 115 dinner guests, including 40 scouts and 20 leaders. 60 pounds of mashed potatoes, 54 eggs, 50 pies brought by the guests. Uncut pies were donated to charity. 20 to 30 bags of charcoal to cook 6 turkeys. 3 were deep fried by adults. 20 loaves of bread for the stuffing, 16 cans of cranberry sauce, 14 gallons of apple cider, 14 jugs of grape juice, 6 pounds of onions, 5 pounds of celery, 5 pounds of carrots, 4 restaurant-sized cans of corn, 3 Dutch ovens of stuffing, in addition to 6 stuffed birds. Okay. Our next article. Let's find out. Well, Pee Wee Harris, he's looking at cooking. Page 52. Now, I have a picture here of Pee Wee and his friend, and he's talking to Pee Wee. He says, why? Whoa. What's wrong, Chub? Yeah. What's eating you, buddy? Well, it's what we'll be eating that scares me. No. Yes. Pee-wee's cooking again. Oh, no. Hey, can you guys pipe down a little? You're ruining the fine dining experience. And there's no need to worry about my cooking. This time I used a cookbook. Ooh. Well, so now there's a picture of the food here. There's a stack of pancakes, French toast, and breaded butter. What, Chub? Well, it looks all right. Did he use a cookbook? And I am hungry. So they start eating. And then, yuck! Pepperoni pancakes? What are these, jalapeno waffles? And what kind of cookbook has a recipe for lima bean French toast? Oh, Pee-wee says, I almost forgot. Cooking with Pee-wee, featuring his daring flavor combinations. I brought you a signed copy. Okay, Pee-wee. And now page 53, Bible stories. Joshua, part 1. Many years had passed in the wilderness, and the old generation that was delivered from Egypt had died away along with Moses and Aaron. The Lord had raised up a new generation who were ready to believe his promises. Then the Lord called to Joshua, saying, "Be strong and courageous. You will lead these people to inherit the land I have long pledged to give them." Then Joshua secretly sent out 2 men to spy out the dangers in the land. Disguised, they entered the mighty fortress of Jericho and were hidden by Rahab, an innkeeper, who held the Lord and his people to great awe. When the king of Jericho heard of the spies, Rahab let them down by a rope through a window on the city wall, but only after they solemnly pledged to protect her family. This is from the book of Joshua, chapters 1 and 2. So now here's a picture of Rahab, and she says, "Promise me before the Lord that you will show kindness to my family, for I have shown kindness to you." And then one of the spies says, "We promise. but tie this scarlet cord in your window as a sign of the Lord's mercy to you. And now let's go to Think and Grin. Our joke of the month. Here's a top-rated joke from boyslife.org. Don't like it? Submit your own at the Jokes tab. And don't forget to vote. Evan, what did one casket say to the other? Ryan, tell me. Is that you, Coffin? And that's submitted by Evan B. Earlham from Earlham, Iowa. Biff, why did the turkey cross the road? Bob, I don't know. Biff, it was Thanksgiving, and he wanted people to think he was a chicken. From Raki Jesus in Wanae, Hawaii. Billy, why do pilgrims' pants always fall down? Joe, beats me. Billy, because they wear their belt buckles on their hats. That's from Billy Simic in Dover, Massachusetts. Here's one of Pedro's picks. Charles, what is a turkey's favorite dessert? Mary, I haven't a clue. Charles, peach cobbler. That's from Charles Starr in Gilbert, Arizona. Danny, why did the cranberries turn red? Jake, beats me. Because they saw the turkey dressing. That's from Danny Sabala in Sandwich, Massachusetts. Josh, what do you get when you cross a fat pig and a squash? Jen, tell me. A plumpkin. That's from Josh Jensen in Offutt Air Force Base, Nebraska. Bradley, knock, knock. Sam, who's there? Bradley, Nobel. Sam, Nobel who? Bradley, Nobel. That's why I knocked. That's from Bradley Mixell in St. Petersburg, Florida. Jake, what dinosaur lives in Canada? Joe, I'm stumped. Jake, a Torontosaurus rex. From Jake Delgado in San Jose, California. A book never written. Down at the library by Read a Lot. Read a Lot. From Elliot Allen in Spokane, Washington. Daniel, what do a sunburned scout and a banana have in common? Joe, I don't know. What? Daniel, neither likes peeling. Daniel Perisic in Overland Park, Kansas. A book never written. Explosives by Dinah Might. That's from Alex Bitterman in Chesapeake, Virginia. Tanner, what do you call a medieval place of learning? Hannah, beats me. Tanner, night school with a K. Tanner Sack, Nickerson, Kansas. Drew, which newspaper did cavemen read? Jeremy, I don't know. Drew, the Prehistoric Times. That's from Drew Rote in Newton Square, Pennsylvania. Blake, what do you get when you cross a cow and a porcupine? Kyle, I haven't a clue. Blake, a steak with a built-in toothpick. From Blake Ritchie in Hallsville, Texas. Steve, what do you call a hip-hop lizard? Zach, I haven't a clue. Steve, a reptile. That's from Tanner Sack in Nickerson, Kansas. An old man with hearing problems goes to the doctor. The doctor gives him a hearing aid and schedules a checkup for the next month. When the man goes back, the doctor says, your hearing is perfect. Your family must be really happy. I haven't told them yet, the man replied. I just sit around and listen to their conversations. I've changed my will 3 times. Well, that's all. We've run out of time for today's reading. I'm John Ivey, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for a print and visually impaired audience and readily available as a podcast after the broadcast. We hope you've enjoyed today's reading. So long until next time.